our view of God affects the way that we respond to Him. Our theology informs our understanding of God. And it's so important for us to have that proper understanding of God. Because if we don't have that proper understanding, we will fail to recognize who He is, how great and how mighty and how amazing He is, how He cares and how He's with us and He's present. Let's pray. God, thank You that we can know You, even though You would be unknowable if You didn't reveal Yourself. Thank You that we can learn, that You gave us the ability to learn, to reason, to search out Your ways. Lord, help us this morning to meet with You. That's what this is about. It's about communing together with You so that we can learn from You. And God, I just pray that Your Spirit will work in our hearts, open the eyes of our hearts so that we may learn what You want to teach us this morning. In Your name I pray. Amen. Elim exists to be an oasis for renewal with God and one another. And what that means is Elim exists to help people have the relationship with God and with each other that they were intended to have. As an oasis, we seek to nurture passionate followers of Jesus Christ. And last week I talked about how we seek to nurture passionate followers of Jesus Christ, and a passionate follower of Jesus Christ gives main influence to the Word of God in their life. And I made pancakes last week as an example of that. So this week we're going to talk about how a passionate follower of Jesus Christ is prayerful in their life. And so I thought that this week I would pray that God would make a pot roast for us and He would place it in the center. I just want the smell. That's all I really want. All right. Last year, a couple years ago, Nate and I, generally speaking, will go early to men's retreat. And we go early because we basically rearrange one whole cabin and we bring sound equipment, and it's a half day adventure of getting set up. Well, after we had gotten set up and we had been there for a while, Nate and I decided we were going to go in the hot tub and pray for what God was going to do. And it was an overcast, drizzly night. And so we're sitting in the hot tub. And actually, that's perfect weather for the hot tub. And there's the river that's right by the cabins. And so you can hear the river. You can sit. If you've ever been on the men's retreat, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a really relaxing place to be because there's very little light pollution. It's really nice. So Nate and I are sitting there, and we had decided we were going to pray, and so we were doing a little popcorn prayer thing where he pray, I pray, he pray, I pray. Well, he was praying and praying. And anyone who knows me, my attention span, even in prayer, can be short. And so I opened my eyes and I looked up and I just thought, man, I would just love to see the stars. Like, this is just the perfect setting, and I would just love to see the stars. And so I say, God, I know it's selfish, and I know that, like, this doesn't tell me whether or not You love me or not, but I'd really like to see the stars. Like, I don't know. I just love seeing the stars. And what it stems from is we were at a concert in Enumclaw, and Switchfoot was singing, and they were singing one of their songs that talked about the stars, and they had turned off all the lights in the concert, and they were singing, and all you could see were stars. And that moment just has stuck with me for years. And so I was thinking, man, I just want to see the stars, because, you know, when I see the stars, it shows me how great our God is. So after thinking through this, I re-entered Nate's prayer because he was still going. So he stopped. I started praying. And then I stopped. He started praying. I looked up and, like, there's some stars. And it was just like, still a bit really overcast, but just a little circle where we could see the stars. And I just like, God, I know that You've already shown me the stars, but man, I would love to see more stars. And I recognize this is selfish. I recognize that. And so Nate continues to pray, and then I pray, Nate prays, and we end, and we look up, and like, the clouds are going away. And so Nate and I start talking about this, and we sit there just staring at the stars as God continued to open the skies. And by the end, there were no clouds in the sky that we could see. We could see the stars. And we both just looked at each other and said, man, God just smiled on us and just reminded us that he's with us at this retreat. But that he's with us in life. And he still answers prayer, even the most selfish ones at times.
Yeah.
See, God answers prayer. And he loves to answer prayer. And prayer simply is just us communicating with God. And it could be us talking to God or listening to God. But as we look throughout Scripture, we see so many examples of how God wants to answer prayers. And one of those examples is in James 5, 17 and 18. It says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced crops. I love how James talks about how Elijah was a human being like you and I. Like, there was nothing significant about him that made God listen to him, except for he prayed and he trusted that God was going to do something. You know, we get an example of that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when those three were about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. The king says, hey, you need to deny God. And they said, we will never. Our God can save us, but even if he chooses not to, that doesn't change the fact that we will not bow. Right? Because we can pray and we can ask God, but that doesn't mean God's going to always do it the way that we ask him to. In fact, we get a great example of that in Genesis 18. Jesus meets up with Abraham in the Old Testament. It's called the Christophany, where Jesus shows up in human form and he's talking to Abraham. And Abraham goes and says, okay, I know you're going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah, and I know you're going to judge those cities. But if you find 50 people, righteous people, will you spare it? And God says, yeah. And then Abraham, well, but if there's 45, will you spare it? Yeah. So we pick it up in verse 32 of Genesis 18. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. Because he started at 50, now he's back. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking to Abraham, he left and Abraham returned home. So Abraham is asking God that he would show lenience on Sodom and Gomorrah if he could find at least 10 righteous. So God said, yes, I will answer that request. But there weren't 10 righteous people. So he pronounced judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. See, we can go to God and we can ask God for things and he's always going to answer. His answers are always yes, no, or maybe later. But the bottom line is we don't always know what he's going to do. We don't always know why he answers the way he does. He tells us when we pray, pray in the Lord's will. If it is your will, then let it be done. And the reason he prays that is because of what we see in Romans 11. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, who has given him to God, that God should repay them? For him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. See, God's ways are unsearchable. He knows everything that can happen, everything that will happen, and everything that could have possibly happened in the world. In time. He sits outside of time. And so when we go to him in prayer and we seek him, he wants us to ask. But again, understand that he has the big picture and we don't. And we need to trust that he knows what he's doing, because for the last 6, 8, how many thousands of years you believe we've been, Earth was created, he's been showing himself to be faithful. So we need to go to him in prayer, because prayer still works. He still answers prayer, and he shows himself all the time to be faithful. When I think of prayer, I think prayer is something that we don't totally understand. Again, it's simplest form. It's us talking to God, listening to God. There are Christians that don't like to pray. It's awkward. I don't know. Like, it's just kind of weird. And then there's people who you look at them and they pray, and it's just like they have a direct line to God. Like, God listens to them. Why does God listen to them and not me? What we have to recognize is people are at different stages, different phases in their connection with God, in their prayer life. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, it's normal. See, a lot of times when we talk about growing as a disciple, we don't know Jesus, know Jesus. But we don't talk about the journey that you go on as a believer. The journey you go from a new Christian to hopefully a mature Christian. The journey of I'm new to this whole God thing, to I'm connecting with God so deeply. And we don't think of the journey that it takes. And the hard thing is, it's not a like always a progressive journey. You know, if it's going up a mountain, it's not always going up. It's like, as we develop and as we grow. But this past week, it was really interesting how God works. Martin and I were talking about what I was going to be preaching on before we went on vacation, and we were talking about this whole idea of being prayerful. A passionate follower of Jesus Christ is prayerfully dependent, or is prayerful in their life. And we were just talking about the different stages him and I both have been in our walks with God. And so as I was studying out scripture, and as I was looking through it, and I was just had this uneasiness, because I'm like, I don't know how to define all this. And I get to these meetings. I was at the national headquarters for the Evangelical Free Church, which was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I'm on this team called the Reach Students Team. And one of the guys that's on my team, his name is Glenn. Glenn is one of these guys that just seems to have a direct line to God. He's one of these guys that just is prayerful in all of his life. He's just known by all of us as a man who prays. And so I went up to Glenn. I said, "Hey, Glenn, here's what I'm preaching on. Do you have any thoughts?" He's like, "Yeah, let me shoot something to you." So he shot me over this diagram. And I thought, this is exactly what I was looking for. When I told Nate this, Nate's like, "God smiled on you. God loves you. And this is a way that he's showing his love for you." So when you look at this, the stages, we're all at different stages. Now, this is man-made. Could you add 7? Yes. Could you add 4? Like, it's man-made. It's to give us an example. So this wasn't found in some sacred text somewhere, buried somewhere, over in somewhere. Okay? This is just his understanding. And really, I think, as I've looked at my life, I'm like, I totally agree with this. So the first phase is awareness. Romans 10:13 says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It's the first understanding about prayer. God exists and I can talk to him. Prayer is awkward. Like, you start getting to know God, you're testing the waters, but you're guarded. It's maybe even forced. So, like, when you think of it, you talking out loud to someone who's not present on a consistent basis, someone may call you a little bit weird if you did that. They may try and give you medicines. So I can understand how this whole prayer thing can be viewed as awkward, because it's so abnormal to the rest of culture. And so prayer at first can be awkward, but there's the first phase, and that's awareness. The second phase is acquaintance. Revelations 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. You start growing in the relationship. It's usually one-sided, usually selfish. It's religious in nature. So it's, I should do this, because it's what I'm supposed to do. It's procedural. Okay, so I'm supposed to, like, how am I supposed to pray? Like, and we think in terms of the procedure. You have a problem, and maybe you think God can help you, and so you go to him and ask him to help you with that problem. It's kind of a vending machine. I put in the prayers and outcomes what I've asked for. It's not personal. And most times it's I'm praying for to help with the circumstance of my life. You're hesitant with God. And the relationship stays on the surface. So when you think of an acquaintance in your life, it's really what you're talking about. A friend. John 15:15 says, I have called you friends for everything I have learned from the Father I've made known to you. There's more trust here. More relaxed. You start being yourself. Confession starts. You open up more. You're more thankful. You enjoy being together. You're comfortable. You're more authentic. The relationship is both listening and talking. Confidant. Psalm 139:23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Not everything you share together is positive. And you feel accepted. Not everything you share is positive, but you feel accepted. Confession leads to growth in humility. Your trust level is building, more consistent. You look forward to spending time together, and you're listening more. Best friend, like, you're willing to tell him everything that's going on. This is where you go when something bad or good happens. People are noticing a change in your life. And here's the thing is, to get to this level, there needs to be a working of the Spirit of God, and the gospel needs to shape the way that we think and the way that we act and the way that we respond to things. And as the gospel shapes us and as the Spirit of God works in us, it gives us the ability to connect with God at a higher level, at a deeper level. And then the last is intimate. Be still and know that I'm God. You're okay with being exposed, with being transparent. You're not afraid of God seeing you for who you are. You are always together and you feel lonely when you're not. You open up about everything, even when you know he will disagree. It's a true dialogue. It's okay for me to say something because I'm upset. And it's okay that I know that it's wrong, but I'm going to say it to him. Why? Because he's willing to meet me where I'm at. You're okay with taking advice. You're okay with taking advice because you know his ways are better than yours and that he loves you. We're all at just different places in our connection with God. And as we talk about our prayerful dependence, the prayer, we're at different places with prayer. And again, this isn't something that it starts with awareness and it goes to intimacy. And as long as I walk in this path, it's going to just stay there. And then once I get to intimacy, I'm there and I'm good. In fact, we do this. I go to awareness and then I become a confidant. And then from a confidant, I go back to an acquaintance because I'm not invested or engaged in my relationship with God. And I wonder where God is. And so I start to not trust God and I start to wonder what he's actually doing. And so we're moving back and forth at the different levels. And that's part of the human condition. In fact, we start to rest sometimes on last year's victories. We talk all the time about this whole hand forward, hand back, hand beside, Paul, Timothy, and Barnabas. And Jim D'Angelo, who moved this week, has been meeting with Nate Champneys for a year, year and a half, on every Thursday for like 80 hours. And I was like, where's Nate? Oh, he's with Jim. So Jim and him were talking, and he talked about this very thing. And as Nate and I were talking yesterday, he's like, oh, Jim calls it this. So follow from Jim to Nate, the experience from Jim to Nate. So Paul to Timothy, Nate and I are friends. We run together as Barnabas. He came alongside me. He's like, hey, this is what Jim said. Oh, this makes total sense. Here you go. You ready? We start a spiritual camping trip. We enter the kingdom of God. We get to a certain place in the journey, and we pitch a tent. And we stay there. We like the way it looks. We can see where we want to go, but we're content being by the river. We're content watching other people go on the journey. But we're resting on last year's victories, enjoying where we are, camping. Forgetting that God doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants us to continue to move towards Him and His likeness, to grow in intimacy with Him. And it's okay to be at different stages. It's normal. It's natural. But God doesn't want us to stay at the stage that we're at. And here's the thing. If we're not aware, if we're spiritually camping, we won't notice the atrophy in our life. I was at a conference with students years ago. Years and years ago. A guy by the name of Cy Rogers talked about how we are like airplanes. And I was thinking about this while I'm sitting in the exit row looking at the wing, praying that this is true. And he talked about how we're like airplanes. Airplanes were created. They were designed to withstand a lot of stress. But what makes them able to withstand the stress is their maintenance checkups. So that way, if there's any weaknesses, they can be found out and fixed. We were created to withstand a lot. But if we don't go in for daily maintenance or maintenance checks, we won't know the erosion that happens in our own life. And all of a sudden, the things that I used to trust, the things that I used to believe, all of a sudden start to be not what I believe anymore. And we can say, oh, I haven't changed what I believe, but yet the way that we choose to live reflects a different belief system. We're all at different stages. And it's okay to be at those stages. It's not okay to stay at those stages. And we need to be aware of the erosion that may be happening in our own life. And a lot of times these happen in the midst of transition. Newly married. Just had kids. Kids left the house. New job. New house. New area to live in. We go through these transitions, and the rhythms at which I connected with God are no longer the rhythms that I am engaged with, and we don't notice that there's erosion happening. And actually, that is why we need those mentors, those Barnabases, the church family, to come alongside each other, to help us know what's going on and be the eyes and ears for us. Because a lot of times when erosion is happening, we're one of the last to know it. We need to be a prayerful people. A passionate follower of Jesus Christ gives influence to the Word of God, main influence to the Word of God. So we're spending time with God. But we're also prayerfully dependent on God. And we would be remiss if we were going to talk about prayer if we didn't spend some time praying. And so I want to spend some time praying, and it'll be a guided time of prayer. And the first thing that I want to do is I want you to take time on your own, and I'm going to put up two different psalms. I'll put up one for a little bit, and then we'll move on to the second one. And I want you to pray through the psalm. So go ahead and put the first one up there. And what I'm suggesting is that you first read through it, and then pray through it, okay? And what I mean by pray through it is just say it as if you'd say a prayer. And if there's a place to insert your a name or insert your name or make it more personable, just take time, and I want you to spend time praying through this psalm. And then we'll pray through another psalm as well. So go ahead and read through it and then pray through it. As we pray through Scripture, it gives us, when we're like, I'm not sure what to pray. Well, we've got 66 books. We have lots of different, psalms are great for us to go and just pray through them. And I cry out to you, O Lord, I plead for the Lord, for your mercy. I pour out my complaints before you and tell you all my troubles. It's just a way for us to connect with Scripture and also just cry out to God. So as we grow and we're like, I'm just not sure what to say, that awkwardness of the beginning, it's okay to use Scripture and to pray through Scripture. The next thing I want us to do is I want us to pray through just someone you know. Pray for someone you know who needs prayer. It could be someone who's here or someone who's not. It could be someone who knows Jesus or someone who's lost their way. But I want you to take time and I want you to pray for that person. Go ahead and pray. I want us to pray for Elam. Pray for Martin, Nate, and I. Pray for the elders and the ministry leaders, the staff, as we try and lead well. Lead in a way that is honoring to God. Pray for unity, that we would choose to love well. So please, just lift Elam up in prayer right now. I want us to pray for our country. There's a lot that's going on in our country. We need lots of prayer. I think we need to pray that God would help us see people as he sees them. That God would open our hearts and our minds to where we've been judgmental. And where we're not loving others well. Pray for safety. Pray for peace. Pray for a work of God in our country because it needs. We need an act of God. I also want us to pray for our world. At no time in my life have I ever noticed, been aware of just what goes on, different bombings, different wars. This generation of teenagers, 12 and younger, kids 12 and younger, have never known our country not at war. First generation, a long time, that just doesn't know anything other than war. And again, one of the ways that God met me this week is just helped me put everything in perspective. We got an email from one of our missionaries in Congo. He asked us for prayer, and it said, "Greetings from Kinshasa. As many of you know, 2016 marks the end of our presidential term in DR Congo. Today, on September 19th until December 20th, it was to have been the official launch of the presidential election and transition. However, the elections have been moved until 2017. In spite of the fact there is dialogue between the presidential party and the opposition, people responded violently due to the fact that the terms of the Constitution were violated. This morning, under the direction of the opposition parties, thousands of people went into the streets in protest. Regretfully, according to the government sources, 17 people died. Opposition sources say that 25 were killed. 3 police officers were burned to death by protesters. Looting sprees took place around the city of Kinshasa. The opposition is saying that this is just the beginning of the demonstrations until the Constitution is upheld. Please join us in praying for the following. Pray for peace in our city and in the DR Congo, that the Lord would touch the hearts of leaders to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, for protection for my family and friends, and that people would uphold the sanctity of life in the midst of all of this. And I think those are great prayers for our country and for our world. We live in crazy times. The hardest part about it is sometimes we're not affected, and sometimes we're greatly affected. And at the times where we are greatly affected, we cry out. But at the times where it's too far in the distance, we forget our need. So let's pray for those prayer requests, for peace in Congo, in Kinshasa, but peace in the world, that the Lord would touch the hearts of leaders and they would do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, which would take an act of God. But we can pray that. I think there's lots of people that need protection right now, whether it be our military, the officers, whether it be in the States or all over. And that people would uphold the sanctity of life in the midst of all of this. That's a beautiful prayer request. So let's pray for our world. God, I lift to you this world that is in desperate, desperate need of you. Father, you have kept us here so that we can be a people that are so marked by you that we can influence others towards you. And what we know to be true is without you, there is no peace. Father, help us to cry out to you. But God, we do ask for safety for the missionaries that are abroad, whether we support them or not. Lord, for the militaries, for our military that's abroad and in the States. God, for the police officers that seek to do their job to the best of their ability. Lord, thank you for their service. Lord, give them wisdom and guide them. And for the people in our country, Father, that we would love well. Lord, that we would value all. And most of all, we would point each other to you. Because in your economy, there's no race. In your economy, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, I pray that we would live in your economy. Not in this economy. Lord, that we would be influenced by your culture, not this culture. And Father, that people would see a difference in us. They would see our unity and our love for one another. Father, that we would major on the majors, we would minor on the minors, and in everything, we would focus on you, the author and perfecter. We have to be a people marked by prayer. A passionate follower of Jesus is someone who gives influence to the Word of God, but also is marked by prayer. They are so prayerful in their life that they are in constant communion with God. Let us be a people marked by prayer.